In this episode of the Motorcycle Adjacent Podcast, we're going to wrap up the 2022 Yamaha MT-09 SP saga. We're going to talk about some 2023 motorcycle releases that have caught my eye, and we're going to talk about a product review I have coming up. Stick around. Hello and welcome to episode 9 of the Motorcycle Adjacent Podcast. I am your host, Walt, from Walt NPA. And if this is your first time here, it's basically a general motorcycle podcast with the creative freedom to get outside the box just a little bit, hence the Motorcycle Adjacent name. It's kind of like the 6 degrees of separation with Kevin Bacon. As long as we're in the general vicinity of motorcycles, we're in good shape. So for the past 3, 4, maybe even 5 episodes, I've opened up the podcast each time discussing the saga that I had going on with my 2022 Yamaha MT-09 SP. So if you're not in the loop, a really, really brief takeaway on this whole thing. Decided to change my own tires, damaged my rear brake caliper, couldn't get an OEM replacement, and spent the better part of 6 weeks trying to figure out a solution to this problem. It is finally behind me. Figuratively and literally, the 2022 Yamaha MT-09 SP has been repaired. Got the old brake caliper sitting right here in a bag. They gave it back to me. I guess I can salvage the brake pads out of it. And I'm certainly not going to disassemble the brake caliper assembly to try to save any parts from it. So it'll wind up going on my rack of miscellaneous pieces and parts and supplies. And I'll probably get frustrated and throw it away 3 years from now when I realize that it's just been taking up space and collecting dust. So the bike is riding again. I took it out a couple of times over the past 2 weeks, and it has been really, really nice to have it back. So the last time we talked about this, Martin Moto had come over. They picked up the bike on a Friday. They had it Saturday. They were closed Sunday and Monday. On Thursday, I got a phone call letting me know that the bike was repaired and it was ready for me to pick up. They offered to deliver it to me free of charge, but they couldn't get me on the delivery schedule until the following week on Tuesday when they started their week. And I had a group ride planned for Saturday, so I decided to go make arrangements, and I picked up the bike on Friday, and it was really interesting. So, you know, for the past several weeks, I've been riding the bike that you can't see in the background. It's actually right over here outside of the frame. It's a 2023 Kawasaki Ninja 400. I've been riding that little bike, and it has been loads of fun. I have no regrets buying that little thing. But I was getting used to it. I was accustomed to the power delivery. I was having fun with it. It's, again, loads of fun. So for the first time in weeks, I get on the MT-09. I go over to the dealership. I pick it up, throw a leg over it, and it feels massive compared to the Ninja 400. Now, I start the bike up. The gas gauge is blinking at me. I knew that it needed gas. The first stop that I was going to have to make was the gas station. But I didn't want to go out to the highway and just cruise on down to the gas station. I wanted to kind of hit some of those back twisty roads and enjoy the bike, you know, enjoy that very first time having the bike back. So if you go outside the dealership, you hang a left, and then you make it right, there's a bunch of back roads back there. They're twisty, and eventually they take you out to Route 100, which like runs right next to the dealership. But where they come out is several miles down the road, and there's a little like quick shop gas station there. So I thought, well, I'll go up that way. I'll hop on 100, shoot down there about a quarter mile, turn into the gas station, fill it up with gas, and then maybe hit some back roads as I backtrack on my way home. So I'm riding around on the MT-09, and man, does it feel big. It just feels like a big, comfy sofa almost. It's just such a, it feels so much bigger than the Ninja 400, which is weird because when I got on the Ninja 400, it didn't feel small or cramped. I still don't find it to be uncomfortable to ride. I guess it's just, I guess it's just a standard thing or a naked bike thing that has you more seated upright. You're not leaned over at all. Foot pegs are directly underneath you. It's a very neutral riding position that makes them just very comfortable bikes to ride. So I hit a couple of the twisty roads. I go over and I get gas. Now, when I come out of the gas station, I have to get back on Route 100, and I'm planning on making a left. maybe half a mile down the road on this other back road, and I'll take that back through towards home. So I come out of the gas station, I go around the make the left. As the bike is straightening back up, I start winding on the throttle and I open it up and I start rocketing down Route 100. And it's so much fun. It's amazing how much power this thing has. But something didn't quite feel right. I don't know whether I just got used to the thrill of the 400, but the MT-09 just didn't seem quite as torquey as I remembered. So I came out of that straightaway to a traffic light. I make a left and kind of going down those back roads, and I'm kind of blipping the throttle a little bit, looking for that torque. It's still not there, and it just seems kind of unusual. It's an apples and oranges comparison. It is absolutely loads faster than the Ninja 400, but it's just not quite as fast as I remember. And I thought, well, this is really unusual because this is not a slow bike, not by any means. So I'm riding a little bit further and a little bit further. I get closer to home and it finally dawns on me. I look down at the display and it says drive mode 4. Well, drive mode 4 is rain mode. So what had happened when I took it over to the dealership the first time was I brought the brand new tire home, 0 miles on the rear tire. I mounted it on the bike. I had issues and I wanted the dealership to fix it. So I had no miles on the back tire. It wasn't scrubbed in. And it was one of those days where it was raining off and on. The roads were really wet. Like physical raindrops weren't falling from the sky, but you couldn't go more than 100 yards without your visor getting all misty and wet. So I thought, well, I want to be safe. I don't want the rear end sliding out on me. So I'll just put it in rain mode and just be careful going over there. So that's what I did. And it's been so long, I totally forgot that it was in rain mode. I never put it in rain mode. So I didn't think to check to see what drive mode it was in. So I come to a stop sign, I put it in drive mode 2, which is where I usually keep it. I turn on to the next little road. I open the throttle and I scared the shit out of myself. It was awesome. There was all that torque that I was looking for earlier and I couldn't quite find in rain mode. Now I remember why this bike is so much fun and why they call it a wheelie monster or torque machine, all that stuff. Even though I have lift control on and I have no intention of taking it off, I'm not the wheelie type. I'm content where it's at. But yeah, it was. I had that giddy little nervous laugh after I realized just how much torque it had, slowed down, got everything under control, and of course did it again a couple more times on the way home. So yeah, it is really, really good to have the MT-09 SP back in the shed. Actually, before we move on to the next topic, it's probably worth noting that the repair time on that rear brake caliper assembly, I don't remember the exact cost that I was charged, but I remember them telling me it was 0.9 hours to replace the rear brake caliper assembly, take the old one off, put the new one on, and bleed the brake system. So I feel like I got charged a reasonable price, a reasonable hourly figure. It's really unfortunate that this whole thing took so long to get resolved, but it's my own dumb fault in the first place. So I think that Martin Moto took care of me. I'm really happy with the level of service that I got out of them. And, you know, I think that they did the best that they could under the current circumstances with part availabilities and everything else we've been going through. So big thank you to Martin Moto for taking care of my 2022 Yamaha MT-09 SP problems. So the next thing I want to talk about is a really cool email that I got about a week ago. So I'm in a past life, and that feels really strange to say, long before I got into motorcycles again, I was heavily involved in a website that did product reviews. We were focused on cigars, but I used to get products to review from manufacturers, cutters, lighters, various accessories, things like that. And, you know, it was kind of cool getting products in, reviewing the products, you know, kind of sharing my thoughts to the audience. And one thing I've always prided myself on doing that whole thing is being 100% honest, transparent. You know, if I didn't like a product, I came out and I said I didn't like a product. The manufacturers didn't always appreciate that. But it is what it is, and it was always in the standard disclaimer when I accepted a product to review. Like, you are going to get my opinion, good, bad, or otherwise, And if you're not okay with that, then don't send me a product. And, you know, no hard feelings. We'll both move on. Whatever, you know, it's all good. So, you know, now that I've been doing, now that I'm long gone, that's way behind me. You know, we're doing this whole motorcycle thing here. And I had a company reach out to me, actually it was maybe a couple months ago, asking me to review a product, which I thought added no value whatsoever to the channel. So I wound up passing on it. They did, basically, they wanted me to do basically like a host red commercial for carbon fiber products. They made like wallets, keychains, various other carbon fiber accessories. And it just didn't make any fit at all. It didn't seem to make any sense for my audience. I wound up passing on that. And, you know, I was kind of hoping at somewhere along the lines, someone would reach out about a product that I would actually be excited about that I thought my audience would benefit from. Well, that finally happened. I had a company called HearProtech reach out to me. They make hearing protection for a variety of things. If you're in the construction industry, they have some sort of hearing protection for you. If you're just looking for a very soft earplug to get you through the night with, if you're sleep next to a snoring person, they've got kind of an earplug for you. If you're a motorcycle rider, they have a set of earplugs for you. And, you know, the list goes on and on. They make a variety of different hearing protection options for a variety of different scenarios. And they reached out to me asking if I'd be willing to review their motorcycle hearing protection after having seen my earplug review that I did on the Howard Light Max Light earplugs. They're little green foamy disposables. I'm really happy with them. I keep a case of 200 in my little motorcycle cabinet there. I grab a pack and I stick it in my pocket. Every time I go for a ride, I pop them in my ears. I ride for however many hours I'm out. I come home, pull them out of my ears, throw them in the trash can. And they're just cheap, they're easy, and I'm really happy with them. So HearProtech asked me if I'd be willing to test out their non-disposable motorcycle hearing protection options. So I said, sure, but here are, you know, here's kind of the boilerplate disclaimer. If you want me to do this, you're going to get my 100% honest opinion, good, bad, or indifferent. Anything less than that is unacceptable. You know, it's just not worth it. It's not worth it to me to phone in a product review in an effort to get a free $18 pair of earplugs. My principles are kind of worth more than that. So I explained that, like, these are the criteria. You know, if you're okay with that, send on the product and I'd be happy to review it. Oh, and I also asked them to supply me with a second pair of earplugs if they wanted to proceed. I asked them to send me a second pair, one that I could give away as a little contest drawing when I do the actual product review. So I thought that'd be kind of cool, and they agreed. So they shipped me some earplugs. So the weather hasn't really been cooperating here in Southeast Pennsylvania. Fall is in full effect. The days are shorter. We've got darkness falling before 5 o'clock. You know, we've been getting hit with some rainy and some wet, cold snaps. So there haven't been a whole lot of opportunities to get out and ride the motorcycles. And I want to use the product thoroughly before I kind of pass my opinion on it. So as soon as I'm able to get out and ride a handful of times and really kind of put these earplugs through their paces, I'm just kind of sitting back and it's in the works. I'm trying to get these things reviewed so that I can post them on my YouTube channel. If you're interested in seeing my thoughts, keep an eye out on the Walt NPA YouTube channel. And thanks again to HearProtech for sending me some products to review. All right, so we've reached the point of the podcast where I like to do some featured content or talk about a channel that I particularly enjoy. And this week, I'd like to talk about the channel Dewey Rides. So Dewey is out in Portland, Oregon, and he spends a lot of time riding through some amazing scenic places out on the West Coast. Beautiful, amazing scenery. So if you're a fan of, let's say, Itchy Boots or As the Magpie Flies or Adventure Tomek, you know, you're used to that adventure style of riding where, you know, you're kind of getting off the beaten path, you're taking in the sights, and you're I don't know, you're almost being told the story of the surroundings. And I think John Dewey, or I think Dewey Rides, does a wonderful job of telling a story and just blending in beautiful scenery. He's got videos. His videos come out, I believe it's every 2 weeks, generally on Fridays at 8 a.m. Pacific. So if you're not already familiar with Dewey Rides, do yourself a favor, check out his channel. I don't think you'll be disappointed. So at the time of recording this, we are in November. 2023 is fast approaching, and we're starting to see little bits and pieces of various press releases talking about new bikes that are coming out, showcasing new motorcycle models or updates to existing models. And I thought I'd take, you know, a couple of minutes to talk about some of the bikes that have caught my eye in the most recent round of releases. So the first bike to catch my eye is the newly redesigned Triumph Street Triple 765. So a little bit of backstory. When I purchased, or right before I purchased the Yamaha MT-09, I had it narrowed down to two bikes. I was either going to buy an MT-09 or I was going to buy a Street Triple RS. I was really happy with both bikes. I was into a lot of different reviews, looking at, you know, various features, trying to compare the two. And effectively, the MT-09 won out. But I've developed a soft spot for that Street Triple. I really like it. It's a good-looking bike. It's got some amazing features. It seems very refined. So when I saw the announcement for the new Street Triple 765, kind of piqued my interest. You know, I'm used to seeing Street Triple, Street Triple R, Street Triple RS. You know, this whole Street Triple 765 R, Street Triple 765 RS. This new branding is kind of took me by surprise a little bit. But one thing that really caught my attention was the price point. The new Street Triple 765 R is under $10,000. I don't remember that bike being under $10,000 when I was shopping for the MT-09. Now, to be fair, I wasn't looking at an R, I was looking at an RS, and the RS was more expensive than the MT-09 SP. And, you know, I hadn't really considered the R, but I don't remember I don't think the R was $3,000 less than the RS. So it almost seems as though Triumph has kind of pulled the MSRP down a little bit on the 765R. And I think it makes the motorcycle a bit more approachable for a guy like me that is kind of price conscious and factors that into the decision-making process. Now, the interesting thing there is, so you've got this new 765R for under $10,000. Let's just say it's $9,800 or $9,900, whatever the case is. So you've got this bike for under $10,000. It is a direct competitor with the MT-09. It is a direct competitor with the Kawasaki Z900. Even though it's a 765, it's got power output that's equal to these much larger motorcycles. It makes it a really interesting bike. So if you're shopping for a new bike and you see this base model 765, that's to say between $9,000 and $10,000. But that Triumph Trident that you were considering, a 660, is $8,300. Does it make you go, do I buy the 660, which is basically a, I don't want to, 600s and 650s and 660s, they're definitely not starter bikes, but it seems like they are becoming the new entry-level bike, right? No one wants to buy a 300, because you're going to buy a 300 and you're going to outgrow it and you're going to sell it in the year and you're going to lose money. 500s, there just aren't a lot of them on the market, unless you're into the Honda CB500 or, you know, you've got other options. You've got the Kawasaki Ninja 400 or the Z400. You've got the Duke 390. I mean, there are other options out there, but most people, they seem to be gravitating to the 600s, the 650s, the MT-07s. You know, these bikes that are, they deliver a lot more power than your entry-level 300, but they aren't radically overpowered like the old, you know, Yamaha R6s or the Honda CBR 600RRs or the Ninja ZX6Rs are. You know, they're not those ultra high output machines. So I think, I don't know, I think that that 600 lineup or that 650 lineup is becoming the new entry level bike. So, you know, if you're shopping for your first like big bike, bigger bike, and you're considering that 660, the Triumph Trident 660 for, let's say, $8,300, would you consider dropping the extra 1600 to get the much more capable Street 777-65? I guess it really depends on what you're trying to accomplish, but it just seems like for just a little bit more money, you can get yourself a lot more bike. And I'm wondering what that's going to do for sales in the Triumph Trident versus the Street 777-65. I don't know. What do you think? Do you think that having these two bikes kind of in the same price bracket, that 8 to 10,000 range, is it going to cannibalize its own sales? Do you think people are going to gravitate towards the more expensive bike because they're getting more bike for the money? Or do you think they'll stick with that, stick within those margins of entry level, or I guess entry level is the best way to put it, and put down the cash for a Trident 660. So the next motorcycle to catch my eye is a new offering from Suzuki, and it's pretty interesting. It's the Suzuki GSX 8S. I hate the name. It feels like a tongue twister every time I say it, and I always find myself tripping over my own words when I'm trying to talk about it on camera. So this new 800, this new Suzuki GSX 800 is actually 750 or 760 cc's, and it's a newly designed slim parallel twin. And I guess the selling point that they're making on this bike is that it offers more power than your entry-level bike, your MT-07, your Ninja 650, your CBR 600, 650Rs. And it's supposed to bridge the gap between these entry-level bikes and the larger MT-09s, the Z900s, you know, the 900 to 1,000 range bikes. And it's supposed to kind of fill that gap. Now, it's pretty interesting because I had done a video on this, you know, after I saw the initial teaser video, I read some information about the bike. I posted a YouTube video kind of sharing my thoughts on it, and there were a couple of comments that made me go, The first of which was, you know, what is the difference between this new GSX 8S and the older GSX 750S? Aren't they virtually the same thing since they're both roughly 750 cc's? And I thought, there isn't a whole lot of difference between these bikes. Let me look into it a little bit because, again, they're both like 750-ish cc's of naked bike from Suzuki. So the new GSX 8S has, again, that slim parallel twin design. The 750S is an inline four. Now, I think the biggest difference is that the new 800 is geared towards, I believe it's Euro 6 compliance emission standards in the UK. So, I think that 800 is sort of paving the way to be in Euro 6 compliance for Suzuki. It's also the first bike that they've released that's been newly designed, I believe, in 5 years or something. I remember seeing that in one of the interviews that I watched, or one of the videos talking about this bike, is that it's like the first new bike from Suzuki in a number of years. And I can believe it. I mean, I'm not really big into Suzuki. I don't keep a close eye on them. But an interesting little story is, when I first started riding in my 20s, I took the MSF course on a Suzuki 250 TX or something. I don't even remember what it was. It was a little cruiser, and I hated it. I hated the foot position. I was not a fan of this bike. But after the MSF course, I wound up buying myself an 80s Suzuki GS 450L, which was more of a cruiser bike. It was a weird bike. It started life as an L, but the owner had made some upgrades to try to bring it over to an E. So it didn't have the cruiser style bars. It had more of a flat, straight bar. Some other modifications were made to it. So it was kind of made it a weird bike to begin with. But anyway, as I started getting accustomed to that GS450, I thought, all right, now that I'm comfortable, I want to go out and get myself a new bike. And because I'm already comfortable with Suzuki, this really cool new bike is out, the Suzuki SV650. Well, Suzuki has been making that SV650 ever since. I mean, it's still in production today. I guess there was some speculation that it was going to be replaced, but it doesn't seem like that's the case. So anyway, I'm not surprised that Suzuki's going a long time without bringing out a new bike, because the one that caught my eye was in when I was in my 20s is still in production when I'm in my 40s. I guess I can see it. But the new Suzuki GSX-8S is a pretty interesting bike, and the price point hasn't been released yet. They're still, the MSRP on the website is just undisclosed. I guess we're not going to start seeing what the price is until they begin shipping. There's some speculation that it's going to be between $8,000 and $9,000, which I think will be a pretty good sweet spot for it. But I would love to find a Suzuki dealer that does a demo day of that bike. I'd love to ride it and give it a shot. I kind of have a soft spot for Suzuki since it's kind of what I started on. But I just haven't had one since. I haven't ridden one since. And I'd like to change that. So the last bike that has caught my eye is one that I really don't know a whole lot about. So I don't remember whether I saw a comment on Instagram or I saw a comment on Facebook or on the Walt NTA Discord, but someone had mentioned something about Honda. So I went over to the Honda website to look something up, and here is this Rebel 1100 T that's being promoted. And I thought, I don't remember the T. I mean, the 1100 came out a couple of years ago, and there was a splash of popularity behind it because it's reasonably priced, and it just seems like a great option if you're into metric cruisers. But here it is, this new T, which is a touring edition. So I click on the link and I start looking at it, and the new Rebel 1100 T comes with a fairing, kind of looks like a mini Batwing fairing. It has hard bags. It's a pretty interesting bike, and it makes me wonder, you know, like there was a lot of comparison when the Rebel was announced that it was coming out in a bigger format. You know, everyone was cool with it when it was a 300 and when it was a 500, but, you know, I don't know, there was a lot of pushback, you know, saying that the Rebel was destined to always stay a small bike. It was never meant to be in a big, you know, big engine format. And, you know, people were in an uproar over the 1100. But there was a lot of comparison or a lot of speculation that, like, hey, you know, this 1100 has the potential to steal customers away from Harley because it's an affordable bike, it's a nice bike, and it's way cheaper than a Harley. You know, there was a lot of talk about that, and then it kind of fizzled down, and I kind of lost track of it. So I don't know what it did in terms of sales. I've talked to a couple of people that have the Rebel 1100. They seem to really like it. But now that they're making it in a touring option, you know, I've got to wonder, is Honda trying to eat Harley's lunch here with this new 1100 bagger? I'd love to get your input. What do you think of this new Rebel 1100 touring edition? Good, bad, indifferent? What do you think? Head on down to the comment section and share your thoughts. So before we close out this episode, I want to thank the guys from the Walt NPA Discord server. We were able to put another group ride in the books, and it was loads of fun. You know, with the riding season is quickly coming to an end. It seems to be getting dark before 5 o'clock. It's getting cold, starting to get rainy. It won't be long before it starts to snow. And then we'll be sitting around talking about the good times we had while we were riding, while not actually able to get out and ride. So it's always nice to try to squeeze in as many rides as we can before the riding season officially comes to a close. So the guys were able to make arrangements to get together at, man, I don't even remember where we got together at. Somewhere in Bucks County, I believe. Man, it's amazing. I can't remember where we got together. Oh, Skip Pack. All right. So I met Trekkie Moto in Skip Pack at the little Wawa there. Then we rode out to Pleasant Valley Park where we met up with Pat's wife, Oldsman, Zach. And I think that was all. I think it was the six of us. So we hung out at Pleasant Valley Park. Trekkie Moto wanted to get some bike photos, which wound up working out beautifully. We got lots of photos by the water, kind of showcasing the bikes, getting them all lined up, getting some photos. It was really cool. It was a lot of fun. We went from Pleasant Valley Park in the Downingtown area out to Lake Nockamixon, which is a big state park in Bucks County. And it is a big lake. So we wound up like riding for a while in there, finding a place to park the bikes and get pictures. Trekkie Moto wanted to get out. There's like this little, it's almost like a fishing pier almost, like a little peninsula that sticks out. And it's gated, you know, like there's the posts and stuff are there. There's a grassy median strip. It's for people to walk out there with their fishing poles and fish. And Trekkie Moto says, I really want to get a picture out there. Let's go for it. And he rides across the grass and he takes his street twin out into the peninsula. And of course, everyone follows him because what are we going to do? Well, just like stop and wait, you know, wait for him to come back out. So we all ride out to the little peninsulas. We park our bikes in out near the water. Everyone is looking at us, giving us funny looks. So we get off the bikes, we stage the bikes, we start taking pictures. Next thing you know, other people are taking pictures of our bikes. And I don't remember whether it was Pat or Trekkie said, like, yeah, these people are getting into it. They're cool with us being out here. And I said, yeah, watch. These people are probably collecting evidence. So maybe we should get out of here. Everyone had a laugh. We get on the bikes, we ride out, kind of park further on down in a place that we were really permitted to be, took some more pictures before riding off further into Bucks County off of Route 611. And we stopped for lunch at this place called the Cactus Grill. It was the first time any of us had been there. It's a weird little setup. It's like a multi-story building. The kitchen is in the basement. The main dining area is like on the first floor as you walk through the door, but there was something going on. They had like all the tables pushed together. People were dressed nicely. And imagine it was some kind of banquet or something. So we got seated outside, which is where we wanted to be anyway. They have this like second story deck that overlooks a field. It was really nice. So we sat out there. We had lunch. Service was kind of slow, but again, they had a banquet going on inside. So totally understandable. Food was great. And all in all, it was just a really nice time. Good lunch, good fun. Good camaraderie. Pat split off from there. The rest of us decided to check out Green Lane, do a little more additional riding before we broke off. Rode around the Green Lane area. Green Lane, you can ride through the water area, but they're all roads. Like, there's no place to park and get pictures. The closest you could get to it is a parking lot, like a long way from the water. So it's not like we could get any decent bike and water pictures like we did in the other places. But fun ride. That's where we all split off. I went home happy, posted a bunch of pictures. Everyone had a good time. I think all said and done, I rode, it's like 110 or 120 miles. Other guys that came a bit further rode a bit more. I think the highest mileage that we saw for the day was like 140 miles round trip. So it was a good time. And I'm really glad that we were able to squeak in another group ride before the season's over. Hopefully, we have a couple of warm days and we're able to squeak in a few more. Because personally, I enjoy them a great deal. And I look forward to hanging out with the guys. So if you're from Southeast Pennsylvania, or you just want to hang out with the guys too, virtually, consider joining the Walt NPA Discord server. We'd be happy to have you. So anyway, folks, that's going to do it for this one. Thank you very much for watching or listening to episode 9 of the Motorcycle Adjacent Podcast. I am Walt from Walt NPA, And as always, thank you very, very much for joining me. Ride safe, and I will catch you in the next one.